Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the world of health, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplementation. If there's something new or even old, I look at the science behind it and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check out the other things that I do on my website, drchet.com. And please sign up for my free emails. Now, there are a few questions in nutrition that are ubiquitous. No matter whether in person or via phone or email, there are just some questions that I'm asked all the time. One of those questions is related to iron absorption. What will help absorb iron? Now, years ago, I came upon a research paper on the factors that affect iron absorption from the diet, especially non-heme iron, and I'll explain that in a moment. I decided to check to see if there was any progress since then, and there was. Some things that are interesting to nutrition geeks. First, a little primer on iron. There are two primary forms of dietary iron. The first is called heme iron. As you might guess, heme is synonymous with blood, and it's the form of iron that comes from meat. With the emphasis for the past 50 years on not eating red meat, the iron in heme and myoglobin, which both contribute to the red color, is missing from the diet. More and more people rely on vegetable sources of iron. That's called non-heme iron, and most is in the form of ferrous fumarate. Now, the point of this is that heme iron is better absorbed than non-heme iron. That may be leaving more people deficient in iron absorption. The average daily iron intake from dietary sources is 10 to 15 milligrams, with only 1 to 2 milligrams absorbed through the intestinal system. Nutrient-nutrient interactions play a role in intestinal iron absorption. Dietary inhibitors such as calcium, phytates, polyphenols, and enhancers such as ascorbic acid, vitamin C, and proteins mainly influence iron bioavailability. Numerous studies have been carried out for years to enhance iron bioavailability and combat iron deficiency. Researchers from the United Kingdom wanted to check the published research to see what factors have been examined that contribute to iron absorption and what inhibits iron absorption. Now, their approach interested me. Most of the absorption research on many nutrients are single meal approaches. In other words, subjects come to the lab after having not eaten overnight or sometimes even longer than that. Their nutrient levels are tested and they are fed a single meal, some with things that may enhance absorption and others which may inhibit absorption of the target nutrient, and in this case, iron. Then they are retested. The results are used to make recommendations on what foods inhibit nutrient absorption. Most of the research on iron absorption being affected by calcium was done this way. But the problem is simple. Most of the published iron absorption studies have been done by using the single meal approach. Now, in these researchers' opinion, that tends to exaggerate the effect of any type of inhibitor or enhancer. They scan the published research to find studies that use a whole diet approach rather than a single meal approach. Here's what they found. Dietary enhancers of iron absorption include vitamin C, meat, as well as poultry, fish, and alcohol. Now, the last one surprised me. I would have thought that alcohol might inhibit iron absorption. But I guess the grapes in wine and the bacteria in hops and beer may actually improve iron absorption. Well, what about inhibitors? The inhibitors include tannins, which are found in tea and coffee, calcium and dairy products, polyphenols, a specific type of phytonutrient which is found in wine, phytates, animal proteins such as milk and eggs, and other minerals such as zinc and copper. Their goal was to come up with an algorithm that could help predict iron absorption depending on the normal diet of the individual. That's fine, but I think the results stand on their own when interpreted. in the simplest terms I can use, and understanding that there will always be factors specific to individuals, here's what they found. The lower the iron status of the individual, the higher the absorption of iron, regardless of other factors. Simply put, if you're iron deficient, your body is going to absorb more iron if it's in the foods you eat, whether that diet includes meat or is plant-based, regardless of inhibitors or enhancers. In fact, when they plotted the data, it was apparent that as iron status decreases, iron absorption increases. Now, the opposite is also true. If your iron status is good, you will not absorb excess iron from the food in your diet. When looking at diets that were high in enhancers and low in inhibitors, more iron was absorbed in those subjects when compared to subjects that were low in iron enhancers than for iron inhibitors. Practical example, if you eat your veggies that are high in iron, if you eat citrus and some meat with it and avoid milk and tea, you'll absorb more iron. Now, the danger for you right now is that you may start constructing an optimal iron-absorbing diet in your head. Don't do that. And here's a couple of reasons why not. First, in spite of examining all the available research, the results are based on just 19 studies. Combining all the subjects in all those studies yields about 420 subjects from countries all over the world. Now, that's better data than all the data from single meal studies, but it's still not extensive. It presents guideposts for us to follow, not dogma that must be adhered to. But second, and most importantly, the difference in iron absorption between those high in enhancers and lost to inhibitors and vice versa was about 4%. While statistically significant, that's not a lot of difference. It's also not enough with which to base an entire diet for maximal iron absorption. Leap ahead 10 years. In a recent review of iron absorption, there really hasn't been much progress. Now, it's not that scientists don't have good ideas. They have used techniques such as encapsulation, emulsification, chelation, and food fortification, which has been shown to increase the bioavailability and absorption rate of iron. The problem has been in the testing. Scientists use in vitro studies almost exclusively in mediums which mimic the human gut. The problem is twofold. The in vitro studies are not the human gut, which is complex to say the least. Why use them, you may ask? Human or animal trials are much more expensive to do. As discussed before, single meal trials are not great, but the iron absorption issue hasn't reached the level of importance that warrants the research expense of longer human trials. Compounding the issue is that elemental iron is a significant reactive free radical producer, so it has to be combined with something to reduce the potential for doing damage. Well, is all this stuff useless? Is there nothing important here? Not in the least. What it means is that before you change your diet, find out where you stand. Get your serum ferritin, hemoglobin, and iron status checked. You have to know where you are before you know whether you need to do anything. Then, find a way to increase the enhancers while decreasing the inhibitors. Over the long haul, not just for single meals. If you were to increase vitamin C foods in your diet while decreasing coffee and tea a little bit, that may be all you need to do. You can also talk with your physician to see if they want you to add additional iron. Look, iron is important for our body to carry oxygen and hemoglobin and to make energy in the long-term energy system. Try to construct your diet with more vegetables that are high in iron, maybe some meat if you eat it, and add citrus and other fruits that help with iron absorption. That's a simple way to keep your iron and energy levels at healthy levels. I'm all out of time, so this is Dr. Chet Solasko saying, health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and every day.